A reading from the book of Psalms. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Oh God, so many of us have heard this story of the birth of Jesus so many times. We could tell the story ourselves easily. And just like a story that we've heard so many times, it can be easy to lose sight of its true meaning. And so we pray in this moment, oh God, that as we hear this Christmas story once more, that it might fall afresh upon our hearts, that we might find the joy in the story and make that joy ours. Oh God, I do not have perfect words, but you are perfect. And so I pray that you would speak through me in the midst of my imperfection to your people. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, so on November 10th, it was a Sunday, worship was over. I believe we had to set up for messy church that day, so we did that. And afterwards, I went home to have lunch and to take my Sunday afternoon nap before coming back to church for messy church. When I look at my phone and I see a text from Gary, and the text was this. There was a link to Amazon, and then these words: if I buy two, will you wear it on Christmas Eve with me? I think we'd be adorable. I click on the link, and I find this sweater staring back at me. And you know how, like, when you text people, you write LOL, laugh out loud, but you don't actually laugh out loud, it's just what you type? Because it is funny. I actually LOL'd when I saw this shirt. In case you can't see it, it's Jesus with a balloon and a party hat on, and there's a dove over here, and it says, "Birthday Boy." And when it comes, this is a thing you need to know about me. Use this information wisely. If you dare me to do something, I'm going to do it. I will not back down from a dare. So anyway, I was obviously game for it, and some of you who are at the Living Nativity may have seen me in this sweater, because this sweater is too awesome to just wear once at Christmas. So I wore it then, and I'm wearing it again today, because Gary rang me up this week, and he said, "When are we wearing this thing?" And we talked about Christmas Eve, but we decided we were going to wear it today. And I would just like to point out that Melody is wearing the sweater, and Gary is not. He left me hanging. That's all right. And I trust that Gary's not embarrassed about me outing him about this, because he's an extrovert. Debbie might be, nope, not embarrassed. Okay. But see, here's the thing. The story's going to keep going. So anyway, if you know anything about Gary, if you've ever seen him on Christmas Eve, he is hard to miss. There have been, there's been a hat, I think. There's been elf ears. There have been elf shoes with bells, tacky Christmas suits. I think there were gloves, too, one year, I believe. My personal favorites are the elf shoes with the bells. I see and hear Gary come into the sanctuary with those things, jingle, 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 with every step he takes. And I think, oh, you're helping me with communion. Because I think it's hysterical when, you know, everybody's completely silent when the people who are helping administer communion come forward and they're walking up here. And in the silence of that moment, you just hear Gary, jingle, 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 walking up front. And I love to do this because we have to remember that sanctity does not always have to be somber. But there is joy in this celebration at this table when we remember that Jesus is with us. But not just remember it, but we experience Jesus and the sacrifice he made for us at this table. The thing is, the reason I'm pointing this out is you can literally be clothed with joy. See? But not have the sort of joy in your heart that is an altogether joy to which we all aspire. Now, when Gary comes here on Christmas Eve and he's decked out alongside his son David in their tacky Christmas suits, know that Gary is clothed with joy, not just on the outside, but on the inside, because I know Gary. But let me explain what I mean by this. We've been talking about the difference between an almost Christian and an altogether Christian, using the book Almost Christmas to guide us through this concept as it relates to the season of Advent. An almost Christian looks like a Christian, walks like a Christian, quacks like a Christian, but does not know Jesus in their heart. This is the category that most of us fall into. So if you see yourself in this, know that you're in good company. But this is a person who we have more of an intellectual understanding of God, more than we have a love for God, an understanding of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Conversely, an altogether Christian has not just some sort of intellectual understanding of God, but has the heart knowledge that Jesus died for us and of what that means to us individually and collective as humanity, how it manifests itself in the ways we move through this life. Most notably, we experience, if we are an altogether Christian, peace, hope, love, joy. And so we've been talking about these themes of peace, hope, love, and joy that are synonymous with the season of Advent each week as we prepare to commemorate the birth of Jesus. Today, we turn to joy. And in the book, Matt Rawl, who writes this chapter, defines an almost joy as powerful but temporary. This is the stuff we so often get wrapped up in around Christmas and, well, all year long for that matter. Presents, programs, events, family get-togethers, jobs, or more accurately, time off from jobs, hopefully, for some of us anyway. They're powerful and often meaningful things to us. But this joy is a joy that we have to keep going back for more of. It's a joy that's temporary. It's not a joy that lasts. Altogether joy, though, it's not temporary. It's everlasting. It's eternal. In the words of Rawl, altogether joy is experienced as the unexpected fulfillment of anticipation. It is the steadfast assurance that God is with us. The steadfast assurance that God is with us. No matter what may be going on in our lives, we know God is with us in it. Over and over again in Scripture, we are reminded that God is with us. Both our Advent candle lighting reading that Andy and Renee read to us earlier and our focus Scripture this morning remind us that even when life seems at its most bleak and lonely, when we feel as if everything is stacked against us, God is with us in the thick of the moment. In the moment, we may be left weeping, but joy comes in the morning. Joy is always on the horizon. How so, you ask? Did I hear that? I'm glad you asked. I can answer that question with one word. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. We sometimes hear Jesus referred, especially during this season of Advent. We sang the song earlier, O come, Emmanuel. We hear Jesus referred to as Emmanuel. And Emmanuel literally means God with us. This ancient story that we tell every year as we proceed through Advent toward Christmas, the story of Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, the angels of the singing in the heavenly chorus, is a story of joy coming. Over and over again throughout this story as it unfolds, we hear about joy. We hear about Zechariah, who is made silent, mute, after he questions the angel that these things will take place. He remains silent until, quote-unquote, it says there, his joy is fulfilled. When his son, John the Baptist, is born of his wife, Elizabeth, who is barren and is past childbearing years. When Mary speaks as she nears Elizabeth while Elizabeth is 5 months pregnant, Mary speaks, and the baby inside Elizabeth, John, he leaps for joy, the passage tells us. He leaps for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. On and on in the Christmas story, we hear of joy, a joy that Mary ends up pondering in her heart. Matt Rawl in Almost Christmas points out that leap for joy is only recorded one other time in the Gospel of Luke. It's much later when Jesus is an adult and he says, "Blessed are you when people hate you. Leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven." I don't think Jesus understand what joy means? When people hate you, leap for joy. It gives a much different definition of joy than the one that we're used to, doesn't it? It seems to foreshadow John the Baptist's persecution at the hands of King Herod. When he's a baby, he leaps for joy inside of his mother's womb. And later, because of his faith, he endures persecution and is ultimately killed for it. Not just in giddy, happy dance moments, but also moments of silence and in the midst of persecution, joy can come. It's why a person in the midst of loneliness, depression, grieving can still experience joy. It's the certain knowledge that even though we feel disconnected and numb, even though we might feel overwhelmed, we know that God is with us in it. And we continue to plop one foot in front of the other because there is life. There is salvation in the midst of the muck and the mud, and there's life on the other side of it all. My best friend and I were both journeying through this book in our congregations, and we were talking this week, and we're like, man, explaining joy is not easy, but you kind of know it when you experience it. At Christmas, Jesus is born. Emmanuel, God is with us in the flesh. God came in the flesh and dwelt among us, died for our sins, rose from the grave so that we might be forgiven, restored in our relationship with God, and experience eternal life in this life, but also in the life that is to come. That is joy. God is with us. When we know that in our hearts, whether it's in good times or bad, whether in times of plenty or scarcity, in times of fullness or emptiness, in times of companionship or loneliness, in times of difficulty, or life is easy breezy, we, in the words of Psalm 30, are clothed with joy. That joy that comes when we know that God is with us. John Wesley, who alongside his brother Charles was the founder of the Methodist movement that the United Methodist Church is a part of, and he wrote this sermon called Almost Christian, upon which this book that we've been journeying through, Almost Christmas, is based. And he coined these terms, almost Christian and altogether Christian. And it's reported that when Wesley was dying, the last words that he said were, "Best of all, God is with us." Best of all, God is with us. He was dying, but he had joy. So here are the words I want to leave you with this morning, friends. Put on your ugly Christmas sweater. Okay, tacky. We'll say tacky, not ugly. Put on your tacky Christmas sweater. I mean, you could do that literally. But you know what I really mean, right? Know that at Christmas, God came to be with us and to eventually die for us so that we will always know that we're not alone in this thing with a disassociated God off somewhere in the distance, but that God is with us always. Always with us to bring us peace, to give us hope, to show us love, to clothe us in joy, no matter how many times we get it all wrong, no matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we fail, no matter how dark things might seem at times, God is with us. Don't just wear the ugly sweater on the outside, wear it on the inside too. Be clothed with joy. That's what it means to experience an altogether joy. That's the mark of an altogether Christian. Put on your ugly Christmas sweater because God is with us. And that is joy-inspiring news. We in the church, we've heard that message so many times. But when we really think about it, to know that God is alongside us, in us, working through us, no matter what, in every circumstance, that is truly good news. Yesterday, my family and I spent the day at my mom's house. All of my mom's side of the family was getting together at my parents' house. And so we were getting together to celebrate Christmas. And at one point, I went upstairs during the party with Jonathan. He went with me. And I suddenly realized, I said, "Jonathan, listen." And we listened. And it was loud downstairs. Now, Jonathan, when one side of his family gets together, it's like 20 people. When one side of my family gets together, when all of us are together, it's like, I don't know, 40 or more of us. My mom comes from a big family. So even when a few of us are missing, there's still a lot of people getting together. It was loud. Everyone was talking over top of each other. So, because it's like a whole bunch of me's sitting around the table. Everyone looks like me. They sound like me. They're extroverted like me. So everyone's talking over top of each other. Maybe some people are listening. So we're listening to everyone laughing and going through, even in the midst of all the tough stuff that we know members of our family are going through. And finally, we came back downstairs, and I sat next to my cousin, Scott. Now, if you're a member of our Facebook group, our Congregational Care Facebook group, you've heard me talk about Scott. Scott is one of my cousins. He's in his early 20s. He's redheaded and pale-faced. You know, I'm telling you, we all look alike. It's crazy. But Scott, he was, not long after he was born, he became blind. In one of his eyes, he can see sort of shadows, but that's all that he can see. That's the extent of his vision. And so he's lived his whole life thus far this way. But anyway, Scott, he needed to have a surgery on this eye. He was having some very serious problems with it. And this surgery, it could either repair the eye and he can maintain his vision, or the surgery could cause him to lose his sight entirely. That was the risk. But having the surgery was the only way he could possibly maintain what vision he has. So Scott was sharing this with family, and we were all praying. And I asked Scott, you know, "Can I share this with my church so we can all be praying for you?" And he was like, "Yes, please." So, you know, we've been praying for him, and I thank you for your prayers. He gave me an update yesterday, and he was telling me that the pressure in his eye is I don't know, what do you want to call it, maintaining where it needs to be. He's still having to put drops in his eyes and that sort of thing, and so he's not out of the woods yet. But so far, he says, keep praying because the prayer is working. That's what Scott said. And one of the things that we talked about as we were sitting next to each other was about how difficult this has been for him. For the first week after he had the surgery, he could do nothing but lie in bed. He just had to stay perfectly still. He had a period of time where he couldn't move his head certain ways because he had to make sure that everything stayed intact the way that it needed to be. He's had to put drops in his eyes all the time. And so as all of this is going on, for much of the time, he had a patch over his eye. So he really could not see anything. And so you can't help but lie there and think, okay, this could be my reality for the rest of my life. And so he's thinking all of this stuff as he's lying there in bed. But after he finished talking, he was asking me, well, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I told him I was going to be talking about joy. And he said to me, Melody, tell them about my joy. And I said, okay, I'll tell them about your joy. So here's a guy who can't see much of anything, could lose all of his sight. He has every reason to be down in the dumps, grumpy, feeling sorry for himself. And I'm sure that he has those moments too. But Scott also goes to a restaurant, I think it's every week, and he sings in front of all of these people. He knows every song Elvis ever did. And there are times when he will dress up as redheaded Elvis. And he is a really good Elvis impersonator. He's quite the character. He's been learning how to play the piano recently. He knows every Elvis song. He loves music. And Scott is the very definition of someone who has his ugly Christmas sweater on. Scott is clothed with joy. But friends, no matter what you might be going through right now, and we all have obstacles, we all have things that we're working through, no matter how you may be feeling about Christmas right now, maybe you're looking forward to it, maybe it's really hard for you, you've lost someone, or you're just really not feeling in the Christmas spirit. However you might be feeling about Christmas right now, I hope that you will put on your ugly Christmas sweater and remember that God is with you, not just now at Christmas time, but always. May you be clothed with joy. Amen.